And so I'm going to speak to you, and I normally do expository messages, but this is more of a topical message, so if it falls flat, blame it on the topic, okay? But hopefully not. But I'm going to preach to you or teach you today on praying big prayers. Praying big prayers. Let me begin by saying we can all appreciate the honesty of a child's prayer. Prayers like, "Dear God, would you make me a little brother? I want someone to boss around." "Dear God, please make my parents understand that if I don't eat salad, I do better in school." "Dear God, I hope my dog is with you in heaven. Please take care of him. Sorry if he chews on your sandals." You know, many times children pray big prayers because they have childlike faith. I think the problem with most of us, and I include myself, we don't have childlike faith. We do too much reasoning. We have too much, maybe, knowledge. "Oh, that's not going to ever work. I can't trust God for that." But a child does. A child truly does. They have childlike faith in our great God. They truly believe God can and will answer because they believe God is real. You know, I think we talk about God and we pray to God and we claim to know God and believe in God, but do we really believe God is real? I was out recently, I'll put it that way, I was out jogging in an area that was somewhat familiar but still unfamiliar for me. And I thought I knew where I was going, but I discovered I needed some help. And I said, "Lord, you need," in childlike a prayer, I said, "Lord, you need to help me find a certain street." And I didn't have my contacts in, and so I couldn't see as clearly as I needed to see. But God was faithful. And I say this as a childlike faith prayer, that God was faithful to help me find the street I needed to find the street I needed to go to. And that was just recently. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to truly believe God is real.
Amen.
And that, oh, that we might have this childlike faith to believe that God is big enough to answer the big prayers of life. Now, anything that is good and right, God can do through His infinite power and authority, which includes answering prayer, which further includes answering the big prayers as well as the small prayers. We don't ever have to think that the Creator of the heavens and the earth, that the sustainer of all things, is not able to answer any and every prayer we offer. For not only has God the power to give mighty answers to prayer, but He desires to do so. I think sometimes we forget that. God delights to answer our prayers. I think of Romans 8:32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" We never hear from God, "I can't afford that," or "That's not in the budget," or "That's too much to ask," or "That's just too hard." The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. I think it's noteworthy that of all the sins mentioned in connection with prayer, for example, praying to be seen of men, asking for something to consume it upon our own lusts, having unforgiveness, an unforgiving heart, having a heart of unbelief, having a wrong home life relationship. If you're married today and you and your wife are not getting along, there's aught between you and your spouse, then your prayers are hindered. But not one time does the Bible hint that any man ever asked too much from God. In fact, what I see in the Scripture is the statement, "You have not because you what? You ask not. Ask and ye shall what? Receive, that your joy may be full." Now, I truly believe one of the greatest sins in the Church of Jesus Christ today regarding prayer is that we do not ask for enough, and consequently, we do not give God an opportunity to prove His love and power and bigness. And perhaps it is because we do not believe that God is able and willing to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We talk about that verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, but do we actually believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think? If I had a show of hands and I said, "Do you really believe that verse? I mean, really believe it?" I would think that if we raised our hand, we would be lying. How many would agree with me? We would be lying. Ladies and gentlemen, that verse is in the Bible. That verse is God Spirit inspired. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Well, let's pray and then look at God's ability to answer the big prayers as well as the small prayers. And I have 2 points. We're going to look at some scripture regarding prayer, and then we're going to look at reasons why, point number 2, we should pray big prayers. Father, we are such needy people. Lord, as I stand before these precious folk, this dear pastor and his lovely wife, Lord, I count it a privilege. Thank you that this church is still standing for the truth. Thank you for these dear folk who stand with the Rogers on the authority of your word. And might we be people that truly believe your word. Might we truly believe your word regarding the promises of prayer that we truly can claim. Give us childlike faith, Lord, in the fact that you are a big God and nothing, even the legislators of California cannot stand before you. If God be for us, who can stand against us? In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture references on prayer. To begin this morning, I want us to consider some scripture that declare God's willingness and desire to answer not only the small but the big prayers as well. And the initial verse that I want us to consider is Psalm 81:10, which says this, God speaking, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Now that was a big deal. Then God goes on to say, "Open thy mouth wide." He didn't just say, "Open thy mouth." He said, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will what? Fill it." I will fill it. He didn't say, "I'll think about it." He said, "I will fill it." God is seemingly saying, do you need a really big God to do something extraordinary for you? I am that God, and I have the credentials to prove it. For remember the 10 plagues I sent to Egypt. Remember, Israel, your miraculous exodus, during which time you spoiled the Egyptians. Remember your deliverance at the Red Sea. You actually walked on dry ground through the midst of the sea, after which I drowned Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. That was a big deal. Remember the water that came out of the rock. Remember that satisfied your thirst. Remember the manna from heaven that daily nourished you. Remember the cloud by a pillar, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that guided you during your wilderness wanderings. Remember the miraculous crossings of the Jordan. Remember the walls of Jericho, and then the subsequent victories I gave you over the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, and all the otherites. I am that God. Open your mouth wide, and I will what?
Fill it.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you pray, are you opening your mouth wide? I am able and willing and desirous to fill it. I can and I will fill it. That's our God. I think of George Mueller. Psalm 81:10 was one of his favorite verses, and how God honored his faith and the bigness of this Almighty God. He asked and received and then dispersed over $7 million for the Lord's work without ever asking for one dime. How different that is from us today. It was said of George Mueller that God's power and might were so real to him that he came to the point where he could ask the Lord for $1 million with as much assurance of an answer as he could or £1 or $5. That's faith. I say how we need to be such a people who say, Lord, I will open my mouth wide, for I know that you will fill it. In Jeremiah 32, with the Chaldeans surrounding the city of Jerusalem, we hear Jeremiah crying in verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And then in verses 26 and 27, we find God's answer. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh, and is there anything too hard for me? It's like a rhetorical question. Is there? With the idea there is nothing too hard for me. Now God did allow, as you know, Jerusalem to fall into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. But it was because of their unbelief and sin, not because God was not able and not willing to deliver his people even in this terrible extremity. But then in the next chapter, verse 33, and you know this verse. Verse 3, the Lord consoled Jeremiah with these words. Say it with me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Great and mighty blessings. I believe that God has for each of us these great and mighty blessings, and he will give them if we will simply ask him to do so. I think of the words of our Lord to his disciples after they were unable to cast out the demon from the lunatic boy because of their unbelief. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto thee. And then in the parallel passage in Mark chapter 9, we read in verse 23, Jesus said unto the father of the boy, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, our problem is we don't believe. And you know, when we don't believe, we don't pray. And if we don't believe, we don't pray, and we surely don't pray big prayers. Maybe it's because God really isn't real to us. I think it's interesting here in this Mark passage that the Father said unto Christ, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. But our Lord's response was, there's no if about my power or about my compassion. All things are possible to him that what? Believeth. And then I think of that wonderful promise, and we talked about it earlier in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What? Amen. What is Paul telling us here about God's enablement? Not only is God able, he is abundantly able. And not only is he abundantly able, he is exceeding abundantly able to do above all that we could even ask or what? Think. And all this potential is guaranteed by the power, the infinite, omnipotent power of God's Spirit who indwells us and works through us according to the power that worketh in us. And it's not your power, it's my power, it's God's power within us.
Amen.
Do we believe these promises from God's Word regarding praying big prayers? Do we believe? Do we believe? Kay and I flew out to Las Vegas, spent a couple of days there because it's cheaper to fly into Vegas than it is some other places out west. Got on a plane, flew to Salt Lake City, got on a train, because I love to travel by train, took the train from Salt Lake City to Sacramento. We got in Friday afternoon. But you know what? Why did I get on those trains or those planes? Why did I get on that train? Why? Because I believed it would take me where they said we're going. We'll believe Delta Airlines. We'll believe Amtrak. But do we really believe God?
Yep.
Do we really believe God? Now let me take us to point number two, the purpose of big prayers. Perhaps you're asking, well, why should we pray big prayers? What is the purpose? Isn't such praying being a little presumptuous? Isn't such praying being somewhat self-consumed? Isn't such praying being greedy? Well, praying for big things does three things. These are our three points under the purpose of big prayers. And the first purpose is such praying gives God a chance to show his mighty power and glory. It gives God a chance to show his mighty power and glory. It gives us a chance to show us his name. You know, his name says who he is. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And isn't it a good thing for God's might and glory to be seen? In Nazareth, the Lord Jesus could do no mighty works. Why? Because of their what? Does anyone know? Their unbelief. And consequently, God's might was not revealed and his name was not glorified. But I think of Elijah on Mount Carmel when the prophet called down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. A mighty big prayer, by the way. 1 Kings 18:39 declares that the people fell on their faces and cried, "The Lord, he is God." The Lord, actually it's saying he is the God. Folks, we need the idolaters of today to acknowledge that the Lord, He is God. Their gods don't answer by fire, but our God does. Amen? Their gods can answer because they have no gods who can see, who can hear, who can answer by fire. But our God can. Maybe we need some fire to fall on Sacramento, California. Our God can bring the fire. Their gods cannot. And we need to say, gentlemen and gentleladies, we serve the real God. Your gods can't stand against the real God. Praying big prayers shows the idolaters of the world that our God is the only God and He's real. And He wants His name to be glorified. Second, big praying prospers God's work. And if anything needs to be prospered, it's the work of the Lord. In fact, the most important work in all the world is the work of the Lord. And yet how often, and I say how far too often, the work of the Lord languishes because of our small praying. Missionaries either cannot go to the field, or if they do go, it takes them years to raise their support. Churches dwindle or die rather than grow and thrive. And revival efforts fail. Evangelists simply come and go with little or no change in our hearts. In fact, if the truth were known, we're kind of glad when the revival meetings are over with. You know, we have them maybe once. I don't know how often you have them here. But probably most churches have a revival meeting at least once a year. Oh, now I have to go to church every night this week. Ooh. You know, it kind of cramps my schedule. You know, I have some ball games to watch. Or I have other things to do. And Pastor Rogers says, please come. And we're so glad when the meetings are over with. No wonder our churches don't receive all that God wants to give to us. Even through a revival meeting. Again, in great measure, the problem is we fail to mightily pray for God's Spirit to manifest His convicting, saving, transforming power in us. I truly believe we have not because we ask not. And if only there could come a wave of prevailing, mighty prayer, pleading with God, trusting Him for great things, I believe we would have a mighty revival. And the work of God would prevail and prosper. And how such an evidence of His work of grace would glorify God. And people would again have to say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. I just say this, and I say this about Westside Baptist Church where I pastor. Does this community around you, the community around Westside, do they believe that God really does exist at that church? Do the people of North Highlands and this surrounding area, do they believe that God, I mean, if I came to Faith Baptist Tabernacle, I would meet God. I really would. I mean, I believe there's something still in some, maybe not every person's heart, obviously, but there are people who are searching. They're searching for a church. Why don't they know that when they come to this place, or they come to Westside Baptist Church, that they will meet God? Because God is real. Because you believe God is real. You actually pray to Him. And He actually answers prayer. I'll tell you, that gets people's attention. It's not the hoopla. It's not the drums. It's not the bass guitar. It's not how wild you get, but how wonderful He is.
Amen. Right.
And you know what? We have pastors, because God is no longer really working through their ministry, they have to take the world's ways to bring to pass the ways of God. And that doesn't work in the long run.
Amen.
It doesn't create Christ-like, devoted people. You can't sing the tunes of the world and expect your heart to be attuned to Jesus Christ. You really can't. And then the third reason, the third big prayers... Then third, big prayers provide Christians with what they need, with what we need. And really how truly needful we are. How truly needful we are. Again, as God's people, we have not because we ask not, which means the strength, the grace, the wisdom, the hope, the peace, the victory, the provision we legitimately need, we often fail to receive and enjoy. You know, I think for too many Christians, we're just holding out to the end before saying, Jesus, please come and rescue us and take us home. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to be fervent and to be occupying and to be faithful and to be running, working, until He comes. I think of the words, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not what? Carry everything to God in prayer. Again, I say it and I say it again and again. We have not because we ask not. Dr. John R. Rice tells the story of a man who said to one of his servants, he said, Sam, if you will stay with me and take care of me, I'll see to it that you are greatly taken care of when I am gone. And Sam agreed. Well, $5,000, and this was years and years ago, but $5,000 was deposited in the bank under Sam's name when his master died. But this dear man continued to live the life of a poor man long after his master was gone. Well, one day an old friend of the family went to Sam and said, Sam, why do you live in a little shack and hobble about in rags when you have $5,000 in the bank? Just waiting for you to use and enjoy. But with persuasion, the old man went to the bank and nervously inquired of the money he was supposed to have. After being assured that the money was there, the man requested if he could withdraw some of his estate to purchase a meal. Well, how much do you want? Asked the teller, and Sam replied, 50 cents. Sam took his 50 cents and shuffled away to buy a meal, but continued to live in his poor little shack, wearing his worn-out rags while leaving $4,999.50 untouched in the bank. But how much like Sam are you and me? Our Heavenly Father tells us the gold and the silver and the cattle on 1,000 hills are all mine. And since we are His children by the blood of Christ, they are ours as well. Which means we can ask Him to supply all of our, not wants, but all of our what? Needs, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. After all, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But yet we too often live in physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual poverty. And the reason we have not, because we don't take time to ask. And I think the reason most of the time is we don't believe it will make any difference. Our mouths are never full because we never open them wide. And consequently, we don't receive from God's hand what we need. God's work does not prosper and God is not glorified. His might and power are not seen. And at best, the folks around us think we serve a puny and powerless God.
Yeah. Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great God.
Amen.
There is nothing too hard for Him. His resources are limitless, and He loves us because He loves us, and because He loves us, because He loves us, we sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, but do we really believe that? Because He loves us, He desires to care for us in a mighty big way. I think of Christ's words, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? And in the parallel passage in Luke, Christ says to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. What does that simply mean? God says, ask and I will give you myself. I will give you me. You know, if you have God, what else do you need? What else do you need? God wants our lives to be filled with the wonders of His grace and mercy. And thus He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Might we be a people who truly know the power of prayer. Lord, bless you for meeting tomorrow night to pray. I hope you have more than 9 tomorrow. Can I say this? Can I be very blunt? If you really care and you're not providentially hindered, you'll be here tomorrow night. You really will. If you really believe that God is real, and God answers, you will come and pray. Might we be a people who truly know the power of prayer, who pray not only for the small things of life, but for the big things as well. God can and will answer prayer. I read this verse a couple of days ago, and I thought, well, this fits. It's just this message, Psalm 86:10, for thou art God. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Let me quote that again. Psalm 86:10. For thou art great. Do we believe in the greatness of God? Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Well, let's bow our heads. And let me just say this, because we are all sinners living in a fallen world, I know there are great needs among us. My wife and I have great needs. Will you pray with childlike faith for these great needs to our great and mighty God? For He is able to save your unsaved family member. He is able to bring unity to your family. He is able to give you wisdom about schooling, a career, marriage. He's able to save your marriage. He's able to restore a wayward son or daughter. He is able to deliver you from the stronghold of sin. He is able. He is able to deliver you from bitterness, from selfishness, from a lustful heart, from immorality, from envy. For He's able to give you a forgiving heart. He's able to deliver you from grumbling and complaining. God is able. And God is willing and able to save your soul. Maybe there's someone here who knows not Jesus as Savior. Maybe they've never come to that point where they've said, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. Jesus has the power to save your soul. He has the power to forgive you your sins. His blood was shed on Calvary's cross to wash all your sins away. By faith, you need simply to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Save me for your sake. Come into my heart. Wash my sins away. Jesus, God, is able. God delights to hear our cries. He delights to give us victory. He delights to show us great and mighty things which we know not. And so even now, let us pray.